It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take the 10th caller just to start this thing off in a big way at 412-922-1020. Win that $25 gift certificate from Sorgles in Wexford. Of course, Doug and Jess are here to answer all of your calls when it comes to your gardening needs. The Organic Gardeners on the air until 8 o'clock, 866-391-1020, or Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDKA.com. And ladies and gentlemen, here they are, Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser of thetriblive.com, place that you can find all sorts of good stuff about what they do when they're not here entertaining you on Sunday. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from the Tribune Review and everybodygardens.com.
And I am horticulturist Jessica Walliser. Good morning. It's been a little rainy.
Rain.
I know.
I guess we shouldn't complain, but I'm complaining.
It is, I was just talking to someone the other day about this. Like, this is prime weather for tomato fungal diseases and
yeah, I've been visiting gardens and I'm always pointing it out. Like, you got Septoria leaf spot there.
Yeah.
You think the plant will make it? Oh, it'll make it. All right. Just get that
infected
foliage off there and start treating. We like to use Serenade. That's what I recommend for people, is just organic fungicide. But yeah, this is the weather. That's why I'm continuing to plant my tomatoes. You know, I'm finding them, of course, on sale, and getting some big plants and sticking them in. A big early girl I put in the other day. Oh, it looked nice, you know.
Which is a good way. That's a good way to hedge your bets against the fungal disease, right? Because if the early ones that you put in now that have been exposed to all this rain, and they are going to be more prone to them. And if you put some newer, bigger ones in now, and we do end up drying out a little bit, they're not going to be as prone to those fungal diseases. So that's a smart way to do it.
For some reason, I have not seen it in my garden yet. But
yeah,
it will.
I haven't either.
It will. It'll, you know, we're trying to do everything we can, like, you know, mulch it the day we plant and keep them far apart and keep them off the ground. And it's just a matter of time, though, with this kind of rain. But, you know, for some of the other things, though, I actually have hostas that are overtaking other hostas because they're loving this weather so much. Empress Wu has started to, which is this huge hosta. I gave Jess a piece last year, but it's starting to bloom. And it's actually taken over some in substance. So I got to move.
Which is another big one.
Yeah, I got to get some in substance out of there and move somewhere else. My son created this bed yesterday, him and his buddy, you know, he has a new house, and I went over there, and it's huge. It's like,
is he gonna, what is it, vegetable bed?
No,
or
this is
flowers?
in the front, right next to the driveway. And he's like, well, what kind of plant should I get for that? I said, what? That's huge. So we went to Han, looked around, went to the back to the bargain bin back there, and got some cool stuff.
You filled it up, I'm sure.
Yeah, not filled it up, but I got some plants for him that I'm gonna dig out of my garden to get rid of, or to pass along.
Don't pass along any weeds, though, because you don't want him to get discouraged.
That's true.
You know,
that's
you don't
true.
Want him to get discouraged. So if you've got stuff in there like that bamboo that you have that runs everywhere, that
yeah,
takes
I'm not,
over,
I'm
don't
not,
give him
I'm
any
not
of
giving
that.
Anybody that bamboo that's
from the
for
kid
sure.
You couldn't even get to cut the grass. Now he has a garden.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah,
all right, listen, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK.com. They're coming back to answer your phone calls. Getting a little busy, so if you have a question, I highly urge you to Dow, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDK.com. Congratulations to Paulette of Pittsburgh, winner of that $25 gift certificate to Sorgles.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020, KDK.
All right, Doug has some thoughts, and then right to the phones. Doug.
Join me today at 2 o'clock at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse in McDonald. We're going to talk all about pollinator plants and how to grow for the pollinators. That's something that Russ Bedner is really excited about and really thinks is important. It's free and open to the public today, 2 o'clock at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse.
Let's say hi now to Rich in Crafton. Rich, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, your friends at Settler Ridge and Robinson Issue, guys, you need to come out and do a show out at our mall or whatever.
We would love to.
My question is there a natural way of getting rid of spiders? I know some spiders around my windows and patio screen, and that's, I thought I read somewhere there's a natural thing you can spray or use to get rid of the spiders.
Yeah, so, you know, It's one of those things where spiders outside in the garden are so good, but I understand why you don't want them in your house. Very few people want them in the house. And, some people would put like those Osage oranges in the windows, but there's been some research saying that they really don't work. Some people will spray like citrus oil in the corners of their windowsills and things, saying that it detracts the spiders as well. I haven't tried it myself. I haven't read any research that says whether or not it works, but I certainly know that some people do it. And you can buy like citrus essential oils at like health food stores and things like that. Try to put a little bit of that in those windowsills, and that might, help.
So when I search online, I get Riddick Sonic.
I squish them when I see them, but
when I look for spider repellent online, I get Riddick Sonic Plus Pest Repellers.
Oh, so they're those things that you plug in?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they put out like a sonic sound. They have them for mice too.
I don't know that they
work. My thing is with them, they're going to set up shop there no matter what you do, just because it's a great place for them to, capture food. So you just kind of have to regularly get rid of those cobwebs and make it an unwelcome environment for them. So thanks for your call.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Judy in New Alexander. Hey, Judy.
Good morning, folks. Bringing up the spiders, have another question for you in addition to my original one. Ants in the garden, are they a problem or should I just leave them be?
Leave them be. They're absolutely not a problem. In fact, in many cases, they're good for the garden. They help aerate the soil and do all kinds of good stuff. So don't worry about it.
Great. Okay, my other question. I have a container with a trumpet plant. When I transplanted it, when I first got it, put it into the container with some mulch. It's doing beautifully, lots of green, but my flowers have all gone, fallen off, and they have not returned, no buds or anything. So I've got lots of foliage, but no color. What can I do to help it?
Okay, let's define first what you mean by trumpet plant. So
they kind of hang down.
Yes, it is not a vine. It is more of a bush.
And do they smell really good in the evening in particular?
Well, they did, but again, I have no flowers here.
Right.
All I have are the greens.
Okay, so it's probably an angel's trumpet or Brugmansia is what it's called, and they're a great plant. I will tell you this right now. Mine is beautiful, but no flowers on it yet either, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. They do like, a long season. They're a very tropical plant. They like nice hot weather. We've been having a lot of rain, so I wouldn't worry too much about it, but what you want to make sure that you avoid is if you fertilize it, make sure that you don't add any extra nitrogen to it, because nitrogen will produce a lot of green, often at the expense of flowers. So if you're going to use a liquid fertilizer to fertilize that pot, make sure that you choose one that stimulates blooms. It has a little bit higher phosphorus, which is the middle number of the three numbers on the bottle. So that would be a good thing to help stimulate those blooms. But in this case, I think it's really just a matter of the plant needing to be a little more mature, and we need to be a little later in the season.
Okay, Jessica, then at the end of the season, is that going to be stable to come into the house and will it be okay?
Yeah, you can overwinter it one of two ways. You can overwinter it as a houseplant just by, keeping it in a sunny room in your living room or whatever and continuing to water it. Or you can do what I do, which is overwinter it in dormancy. And I just drag it into the garage and stop watering it. And just all the leaves will fall off and it looks like a dead stick. And it just sits there dormant for the whole winter. And then I bring it back out in the spring and start watering it, and it leafs out and does beautiful.
Does it usually have blooms on it when you bring it back in? Is that how, is it like more towards the end of the season?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where it like, it looks really, really good right when frost is about to strike and I have to take it inside. So yeah, that's the way it goes, but it's still a plant very worth growing.
Great. Thank you very much for your help. You have a great day.
You too.
All right. Let's keep the calls coming. Anita McKeesport. Hey, Anita, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hey, I got these little, strawberries growing in my grass, and they're real tiny, and are they edible? I left them there, though. I thought maybe the birds might like them.
So it depends. Are they sort of round-shaped as opposed to sort of tapered like a regular strawberry is?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a weedy species. They're not considered to be edible. They're not poisonous, but they're not edible
not really tasty either.
Yeah, they're not something that you would want to eat. I've never seen the birds eat them. Have you ever seen the birds eating them, Doug?
Something's got to eat them, though, a fruit like that. Maybe
yeah.
little mice. Maybe you'll get invaded with mice.
I hope not. I wouldn't worry about them too much. I mean, I don't think they're, they... might compete with your grass a little bit, but they're certainly not something that you would want to harvest and eat.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bill, how are you? Good morning. Welcome to the Organic Gardeners with Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser.
Yeah, maybe you can all answer my question without going to Davey. I have a shag hickory nut tree. It's about 10 foot tall, but it comes up about 8 inches and branches off into two about the same size. I'm wondering if part of this should be cut off at this time or just let it do its thing.
Oh, I see what you mean. So you were, it has what's called a crotch, right? A branch off real low.
Yeah. And how big is it?
Actually, it's just like a V almost.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so close the same size. If I went to cut one of them off, I wouldn't even know which one to cut.
Right. So there's one, not one that's more dominant than another one.
No, that's the whole thing.
Right.
I put them in as just dry roots probably 10, 12 years ago. But now it comes up. All the rest of them are fine, but this one.
Mm-hmm. How tall is it now?
It's probably 10 to 12 foot high.
If it was me, I would ask an arborist to look at it. What do you think, Jess?
Could you give me the number for Davey? I get a number, but it's out in East Pittsburgh, and nobody answers that phone.
Yeah, hold on. Let me give you their main number here. I have it in my phone. And
yeah, you know, with that's complicated. You've got to have somebody take a look at it and see if, first off, if one can be cut, or if maybe that you should just
leave them both.
Yeah, leave them both.
If it's not going to weaken the tree.
That's my question also.
Right.
So,
their number.
Davey.
Yeah, their general number is 855.
8733.
Yep. And those are the folks at Dave. For everybody else listening, that's Davey Tree. And they have a ton of ISA certified arborists on staff that can help you with all of your tree care needs, and they can provide great advice about tree maintenance as well. It's a tough choice whether or not to do that.
Yeah. I got a call from the Garlic King of Portview. Because
there is such a thing.
Yes, there is.
Does he have the crown and everything and the scepter?
It's probably just a big garlic-looking thing.
Head of garlic on your head.
And also talked to my friend Tom Walker in Millvale, my garlic, the garlic king of Millvale.
There you go.
And I've pulled some of my garlic, too. I see that we've started harvesting early. We've talked about this the last couple weeks. But, yeah, mine was ready to go when I got in there to take a look at it. And I saw Tom pulled some of his, and the Garlic King of Portview was going to take a look at his too. So if you get in there and pull it, and you see that it has nice white sheath, it's really kind of starting to dry a little bit and tight around the cloves. It's time to pull.
And talk about what you look for on the foliage telling you it might be.
Well,
time.
You know, actually, you're looking for, you want to get it 50% brown, but it's not getting 50%
brown. Is it 50% brown or 50% yellow? Is it like
more
daffodils?
More of a brown.
Okay.
Mine just kind of flopped over, actually. The green was still there, and I was like, boy, that doesn't look right. And so I started pulling them, and they looked real good. And then, like I said, when I went to Tom's, he was pulling his, and his was substantially better looking than mine.
So you want to pull it up, you want to see a nice fat head of garlic with a nice white papery sheath.
If it's still kind of wet and kind of oily, that sheath, it hasn't matured yet.
Okay, and then
but if
the
it's
rest
already
in.
Started to split, which we've already heard people have called and said that it's already started to split, then, you know, you got to use it within a month or so because it just doesn't store well. So
you think everybody that's growing garlic should pull one out today and
check
it and see.
Take a look at it. See what your foliage looks like. See what your stalks look like. You know, I just cut my scapes like 2 weeks ago, you know. I mean, so it's just like, and some of the plants are still have scapes on them, but, you know, if the foliage is turning brown, if they're falling over, you know, sooner is better than later to pull it.
All right, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDK.com. We've got lines available. So if you have a question for Doug or Jess, please feel free to give them a call. That's 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDK.com. CBS Radio News coming your way with an update at 31 past the hour. We'll be back with sports news coming up in just about 20 minutes from now. Pirates win again. They are just 4 games out of first place, all alone in third place in the Central Division. They're in primetime tonight in St. Louis. Chad Kuhl gets the start against Mike Leake. And, of course, we'll have it for you a little after 8 on 93.7 The Fan. And more on Pirate Baseball today with our guy who's all about the Major League Baseball scene. He's Bruce Tanner, professional scout with Detroit on the DISC Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show at 11:30.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Is Radio 1020 KDK.
We begin the second half hour of this great show that is heard every week with your stars, Doug and Jess, of course, Oster and Walliser from the Tribune Review, with the giveaway that people just can't wait for. It's Janoski's in Clinton. If you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you will take that gift certificate home.
And join me today at 2 o'clock at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse in McDonald. I'll be showcasing lots and lots of cool pollinator plants. It's the last day of pollinator week. That's a big deal for you, Jessica, being the bug expert. And today, 2 o'clock, Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse. It's absolutely free and open to the public. And last year, I got a really great Japanese maple there for, of course, a bargain.
Nice, nice.
It's one called Bihou, B-I-H-O-U. And in this winter, the bark turns like orangish red.
Ooh, beautiful.
Oh, it's just great. And then when it leaves out in the spring, it has chartreuse leaves that are tinged in red.
Oh, sounds awful. I wouldn't want anything like that.
It was only $50 and it was already fully grown. What is that one you grow that I like? I want to get one of those.
You know what? I don't know the name. I got it years and years ago.
With really bright...
And it has bright, in the spring, the leaves come out and they're bright orange. And then as the season progresses, they turn to this gorgeous chartreuse color. And it's just beautiful. I love it. We have it at the top of the steps up to the backyard. And it just, yeah, now the deer have discovered it. And so I keep having to, they're jumping the fence this year for some reason. And I have to get out there and keep spraying with the deer
spray.
Now,
I had my worst year last year. And they're not coming into my garden in this summer yet, you know, so far. But last year, it was just disaster. Not only it was rabbits, groundhogs, and deer. Ugh. Oh, my.
Yeah.
And
that is an
but
oh, my.
This year, so far, so good. I'm sure they'll find it at some point. But I've been lucky because I've got completely untreated hostas outside of the vegetable garden that no one's eating.
For the first time, they ate our hostas in front of the shed. So they are jumping the fence. You know, I think it's one doe that keeps coming in. So, but what are you going to do?
And actually...
I just keep spraying.
When I was fishing yesterday, a big buck just came down to the lake and didn't see me.
Which is fine. That's a great place for them to be.
Just walked around. Yeah, plenty of stuff to eat right there. Don't go into people's yards.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's get right to the phones and say hello to Virginia. Hey, Virginia, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Say, I have a question about a plant called Tansy that's like pansy, but this is spelled with T-A-N-S-Y.
Uh-huh.
And this person tells me that it keeps out ants and spiders. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
I heard that reputation for it. And actually, when I did Google spider repellent, the first thing for like natural remedies, and again, this is internet stuff, so who knows, was herbs. It didn't specifically say tansy, but said use herbs. But
yeah, tansy has a really, it's in the Artemisia family, and it has really highly fragranced leaves, and I actually don't like the scent of them at all, but in the garden it's fine. Yeah, so, I mean, you could take some of those leaves and dry them and put them on the windowsills and see if it helps detract from the spiders, but or deter the spiders, but I wouldn't put a whole lot of faith in it.
Okay, she swears by it. It takes over her yard, actually.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very aggressive grower, for sure.
Yeah.
A very aggressive grower.
Well, okay, it's worth a try.
Right,
okay.
Right. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, congratulations to Jay Crescent. Won himself a gift certificate to Janoski's. Text message for Doug and Jess. Can I prune water sprouts on pear trees now, or do I have to wait till spring?
Yeah, you can go ahead and prune those water sprouts out now, but just be super careful. actually, I'm going to change that and say no.
Yeah.
Only because it's been so wet and you risk like fire blight infections and other bacterial and fungal issues are so bad right now. I would wait maybe until we get a lot drier weather later in the summer, or even wait until the dormant season to do that pruning. Normally, I would think if it's a dry June, not that big of a deal. But at this point in the season, I would wait to do it.
Boy, whenever you do that too, you have to be so careful.
Oh, you do.
So even I did a story recently about just taking cuttings on something like thyme, you know,
yeah.
and there at Phipps, they have a spray bottle of alcohol on the cart so mm-hmm. that you're making sure that no, you're not spreading anything from one to the other. And
yeah, you got, and they're using that to clean their clippers in between moving from one plant to the next. In wet seasons, you really have to be careful about this. But Doug and I were talking off the air, too, about what a great year it has been for blueberries in my garden. And the raspberries are going to be crazy this year. We have bigger blueberries than we ever have. And I swear it's because I did a really heavy pruning, not this past winter, but the winter before. And so if your blueberries are getting tiny berries and they're not doing so well, I mean, you should be pruning every February or March, thinning out some of the older canes in those blueberry bushes, letting the new ones, you know, take over. And we are just absolutely loaded with blueberries. And they are huge.
Do you have to do anything to keep the birds off them? Do you
know
netted
what?
Or not?
So far, we do not have netted. Some years, the robins and the blue jays discover them, and then we have to put some netting up over. The Japanese beetles have emerged about a week early this year. Normally they come out maybe around June 26th, June 27th. They were out, I saw my first one at my house on June 19th, which is a week early. They do love the blueberries. But the trick with them for sure is to get rid of the initial week or two that you see them, the first few ones that come on, because Japanese beetles produce a pheromone that is a congregating pheromone. That's why they feed in clusters, right? It's the gregarious feeding. And if you get rid of those first Japanese beetles the first few weeks after emergence, it cuts down on that pheromone being released, and it doesn't attract the scads of beetles that come in as the season progresses.
Just handpick them, knock them into a little...
Them. I go out.
Water.
Yeah, when I go out in the morning to pick the berries for the blueberries, I just have a jar of soapy water with me. And as I'm picking the blueberries, I knock them into there, or I squish them just kind of between my fingers or between the leaves of the plant. And that really does help cut down on their numbers as the season progresses. But eventually, if they get real bad on those blueberries, I might have to cover the bushes with floating row cover just to keep the beetles off of there, because they do love feasting on those ripe berries. They really are quite fond of them, and I don't want to share my berries with the Japanese beetles. I don't even mind a couple birds, but the Japanese beetles, I definitely don't. And then it will only be another week or so before the red raspberries start rolling in. And I think I'm hearing from other gardeners on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram that their berry harvest seems to be really good this year. So I'm hoping the same can be said for some of our local farms, the places that are pick your own, where you go and you take your quart box and you can go and pick the blueberries and raspberries. And if it's a good year for all of them, that's terrific too. They need to have some good years.
All right, what we're going to do right now, take a break and come back. We've got one more segment with Doug and Jess today. So if you have a question, I highly urge you to call, because we've got every line open for you at 866-391-1020.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Biz Radio 1020 KDKA.
Well, I got a text from the Garlic King of Warrendale, Bill Zehner, and he's already picked some 2 weeks ago, but he's sent me a picture of his garlic, and it is starting. It looks about halfway green, halfway brown. It looks like it's ready. He's going to take a look. All right, time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's Denise Schreiber, Greenhouse Manager for Allegheny County Parks. Denise, how you doing?
Good. Although I could do without the rain, I actually, you and Jessica have been to my home. I have to shovel mulch off of my deck because the rain was so hard the other day.
Well, it washed down the hill and onto your deck, or wow.
So that's what I get to do later on today.
Doesn't sound like much fun.
No. Actually, I think I'm going to use a snow shovel that I have. It'll be a little easier on the deck.
There you go. Yeah. And what's going on in your garden? Good stuff?
Yeah, my tomatoes. Yeah, I've got lots of tomatoes coming. My onions, I have some Cipollini onions that are ready to be harvested. Still trying to get some flowers in because it keeps raining.
Yeah,
I got the garden in.
I'm glad to hear you're still planting because I'm still planting too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's what would be just a little bit more cooperative. I'd get home from work, get changed, and it would start raining as soon as I got home from work. So.
Funny how that works, right?
Yeah, it's like they were watching me. It's like, okay, she wants to work. Let's start raining.
Right. Well, good luck. I hope the week goes smoothly. We're going to hope for a little bit more of a drier week. I know all gardeners are. And then, obviously, at the end of July, we're all going to be wishing
begging
it would
rain.
Right, exactly.
Let's say hi to Larry in Verona. Hey, Larry, good morning. Welcome to the Organic Gardeners on KDK.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I have a problem here with a couple of dogwood trees. They bloomed real fine in April, and that was very early, like 2 weeks ahead of the normal for us, and we had a heavy frost in early May on a Saturday and a Sunday morning, and the tree, the leaves are sort of curling, and they haven't come back since that heavy frost, and I'm wondering, is there some... Help me out.
Yeah. So one thing that, if it's our native dogwood, Cornus florida, they are very prone to a fungal issue called anthracnose, which is caused by a couple different pathogens. And it can cause leaves to curl. It can cause sort of blotches or spots on the leaves.
And they should be able to get through a frost without any problem, a dogwood.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, these are fully hardy trees here. So I suspect because of all the rain, you may have a fungal issue happening there. Now, you know, 1 year of anthracnose on dogwoods, not the end of the world. But if it happens several years in a row, then obviously can cause decline and eventual death in the tree. So that would be a perfect example where you might want to call the guys at Davy Tree and have them come out. And they do come out for free and they assess the tree and see if they think any treatments are necessary for it. And in the case of dogwoods, because they're a beautiful, small, native tree, it's certainly worth giving them a call and having them take a look and see if they think it's something worth worth treating.
All right. Let's say hi to Susan in West Middlesex. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about my magnolia tree. We did not get one flower on our tree this spring, and neither did any of our neighbors. And
join the club.
Oh, okay.
Join the Doug Oster Magnolia No Blooming Club.
Oh, what happened?
Apparently, it's not an exclusive club.
No, it was the weather. You know, the buds, they were swelling and then all of a sudden got cold. This is the first year that I have not got blooms out of that magnolia in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I just wondered if it was unique to our neighborhood or...
But it can be. I mean, it can be... you can get sort of like a pocket of frost in a particular neighborhood or a particular area of the city where, you know, you have a particularly heavy frost right when the magnolias were at the right developmental stage and it literally blasts out the blooms.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. But this time there was no frost, and that was the curious thing as to why. Why no flowers?
Yeah.
In my case, it was a frost. I mean, that was a kind of a weird, wacky early part of the season, and I watched as the buds were swelling, and I saw that I think it went down to really cold.
Yeah, like in the 20s or something like that.
That last cold snap we had. And I was just like, oh, those buds are too far along to handle that.
It's just one of the ups and downs of gardening that you have to roll with. And just because if it happens 1 year, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen the next. So you could have a phenomenal bloom next year if the weather cooperates. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
I was at Phipps Garden Center this week, and they had a magnolia in full bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was there but wasn't a horticulturalist, and I was kind of trying to ask him, like, is this the first time it bloomed, or did it put buds on and somehow is it blooming again?
Yeah.
So
was it one of a saucer magnolia, the purple one? Was it or was it like a Virginia magnolia, which mine is blooming right now?
It was purple.
A purple one.
Yeah.
So it must have been a repeat bloomer or something.
Maybe,
like
that. Maybe, I
don't
know.
Huh, interesting.
I'm trying to figure it out.
My Virginia magnolia is gorgeous right now. That moon glow with those beautiful evening fragrant flowers. That's my favorite magnolia.
And in that walled garden at Mellon Park there, behind Phipps Garden Center. That's the one at Shady and Fifth. All the stewardias were in bloom.
Ah, nice.
And they put those stewardias in probably 7-8 years ago, and they're looking good. And the gardener there, Angela, was experimenting with a new horticultural grade vinegar for working on the weeds and the cracks. So I'll be interested to see how that goes.
All right, we're coming back to wrap up the hour with Doug and Jess and get ready for the Coons Cooking Hour. Today we welcome produce manager John Clemens talking spring to summer produce.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
Later on today, 2 o'clock, I will be at Bednar's Farm and Greenhouse talking all about pollinator plants. The event is free and open to the public. It is a very, very cool place, a great nursery.
So I know that you're going to talk there about, you know, what plants to plant to attract pollinators, but I want to know, in your own garden, what are the plants that you notice have the most diversity of pollinators on them?
Well, you know I love Tithonia.
Oh, yeah.
And Tithonia has a lot of stuff on it. My Annabelle hydrangeas,
really?
Yeah, are filled. I posted a picture. Like, I don't know what any of these bugs are, but I posted one of it was like a little flying beetle that was just that was actually on a viburnum, but just covered in pollen so that it was camouflaged to be the color of the, instead of being a little black beetle, it was the color of the pollen. My Annabelle hydrangeas are covered. I love when my climbing rose now gets those like longhorn beetle type things on
the
there.
Flower beetles, yeah.
Yeah. And I posted a picture where all you could see was the flower and the antenna. It's pollinator week. Something's in there.
Somebody is in there, yeah.
And I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, the annual Tithonia is not blooming yet, the Mexican sunflower. But when it blooms, I mean, it's just crazy.
That for me is hands down the most butterflies, even over the butterfly bush and the button bush, which I both have both of those as well. But the Tithonia, the butterflies love that even more than the butterfly.
And then my butterfly weed is just starting. It isn't open yet, but it's budding up. And that has a ton of like usually little green, like native bees and all sorts of crazy stuff on there. It's fun. This is one of my favorite times, especially to poke around in the garden with the camera, you know, with the close-up lens. I love seeing all the different bugs on there. I wish I knew what they all were. Some of them I know, some of them I don't. And it's just a lot of fun. And, you know, it's nice to be able to promote them and not using, you know, chemicals and letting the good bugs eat the bad bugs and just letting them know that they're doing their job.
Yep, and appreciating that diversity in the garden, I think, is really valuable for us as humans as well, to sort of realize that the more diversity of insects you have in the garden, the more stable the garden is, and the less likely you are to have pest issues down the line. So it's all connected.
Remember, the Organic Gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.